Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
All right, here we go with another PT pearl on the feet. And this one's on high arches and how we can best support that arch. And trust me, I've heard it all my whole life. I'm somebody who has super high arches. Oh, you need something with arch support. You need a really supportive shoe. Again, I'm going to call BS because one, we should be spending most of our days and most of our lives walking around in our barefoot anyway, especially when we're at home. So why don't we learn how to best support our feet by using the muscles and bones and structures in our feet that we've been given anyways. One amazing way to do this is by using Vivo Barefoot shoes. They give your foot the space and the environment to help develop that strength and support from within. Not by adding a big arch support, not by adding a big heel lift. The Vivo Barefoot shoes can really, over time, help you develop greater strength and mobility in that foot in a significant amount.
There's been a code change. Use code OPTIMAL now at checkout to get that 15% off. The code is OPTIMAL.
Get yourself a pair of Vivo Barefoot shoes and really feel the difference in your foot. Give yourself 2 to 3 months to walk around in these things so that your foot has the time to develop that increased strength. And again, you have a 100-day trial where if you're not completely satisfied, Vivo will take those shoes back and refund you. Go to the link in the show notes. Use code TOB15 and get yourself a pair today. All right, let's check out the PT pearl. All right, another PT pearl that is really something that I deal with and have kind of dealt with for life is high arches or pes cavus, however you're going to want to pronounce it.
Yeah, pes meaning foot and cavus meaning hollow hole. You have a hollow hole.
Got
in
a
your
hollow hole in my foot. Got a hollow hole in my head. Got a lot of hollow holes.
And this is obviously not as common of one. So if you're dealing with flat feet, we've already done that episode. You can look back on that. That's actually episode 122. Mm-hmm. We already talked about flat feet, what that means, what you can do. So go look at or listen to that one if you haven't.
So many other episodes about foot and ankle stuff as well that we've done in the past, but like Achilles tendonitis, plantar fasciitis,
so
bunions,
much.
Bunionettes, all those things. So yeah, lots of information if you get anything from this one to dive back into, but high arches. Mm-hmm. I have high arches. I've had them for most all my life. Remember dealing with them from the time I was a little kid. And I think that one thing that we just talk about a lot with both flat feet and high arches is like, so what? Like, when does it matter? Mm-hmm. Right? And a lot of the times it matters most when we're having symptoms or when we're really dealing with pain, when we're dealing with a decreased amount of function because of it.
Right.
So I don't want anyone to listen to this episode and freak out and say, oh, I've got high arches and they said all these different things.
Right.
You know, if you're not having significant symptoms at this point or it's not preventing you from doing the activities and the daily function that you need to do, it might not be that concerning for you.
Exactly. I mean, we've talked about this so many times. The structure of your body cannot equal and equate to the pain that you're having. It can play a role in the function that is leading to the pain, but it doesn't just mean, oh, I have high arches, I'm going to have pain. That's especially if you've lived with high arches or they've been developing way over time and all of a sudden you have pain. That's something maybe separate to look at. But we're just going to talk about, you know, what this really presents like within the body. And is there something that you can do? Well, high arches really is like that longitudinal arch is what we're looking at. So we technically have three arches in the foot. And the longitudinal arch is what is most commonly known or referred to when we're doing like exercise stuff like that. So it's going from the ball of the foot, so underneath that big toe, to the heel. That's your longitudinal arch right on the inside. And so that means it's going to be a little bit higher. As a result, sometimes that forefoot, so the toes and like the bones leading into your toes, what are called your metatarsals, kind of point down, which our body is going to reflexively you know, kind of counter, right? So if my toes are more pointing down, then my heel is actually going to be lifted the other way and kind of lifted up toward the shin.
Absolutely. And again, this presents in so many different ways. Like that's just a broad generalization of like how these higher arches develop. Front of the foot goes down, back of the foot points up. You can imagine that it's going to create a little bit of an arch there.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this important, right? And, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the foot and what it does for our body and why the foot is so incredibly important in that it helps us cushion our body as we come into the ground, right? So when we're walking, when we're running, when we're coming downstairs, that arch almost acts like a little bit of a spring. Mm-hmm. And that's generally the point when our foot flattens out a little bit more, where we're going to spring down into the ground. And then when we want to press our body or propel our body forward, it develops more of that arch and then gets more rigid, like a lever, like you're going to be putting something in a wheelbarrow and pushes us off the ground, right? So it's amazing because the foot acts both like a spring and like a rigid lever that is able to launch us and then cushion us. So again, if we have a more arched foot that doesn't go as much into a flat foot, that's kind of what I've dealt with. You don't have that as much of that spring.
You lose that flexibility.
Totally. So then it can cause a little bit more of what we call a ground impact force. When we hit the ground, it's going to, our joints are going to notice that a little bit more. There's going to be a little bit more consistent pressure through joints all the way up the chain because of it.
Yeah. So rigidity at the foot kind of is going to play a role in what's happening up the chain for sure. And just to like kind of get you into a brief background of the different types of flat feet that you can, I'm hooked on flat foot for some reason, but some of the types of high arches.
You gymnasts on your flat feet.
Flat feet. We really want the high arch actually because it makes the toe point so much prettier.
You're just a lot more flexible. So your feet always can do things my feet can't.
Okay. There you go. Okay. So let's talk about the types. So we have pes cavoveris, pes calcaneoveris, and pes cavus, which is commonly what it's known as, but not maybe the most common.
Totally. And one of the most common is this, the first one you mentioned, which is pes cavoveris.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know why that feels cavoveris. Hard to say, but...
I don't know. Again, what's really indicative of this one is that you get this plantar flexion or pointing down more specifically of the first metatarsal. Mm-hmm. And what the first metatarsal is, if you look at your big toe... You look at your big toe, it's the bone that kind of leads into the big toe. And really on my foot, like this is where I am hallmark plantar flexed in my first metatarsal. I remember when I was in PT school and they were like measuring my dorsiflexion and everything like that. One of my professors comes over to me. He's like, oh my gosh, you have a really plantar flexed first metatarsal.
Yeah.
And at that point, I'm just like, hey, what's the significance of that? What does that mean? But it's really indicative of this pes cavoveris,
whichever one you want to say.
You know, foot. Along with that, you get sometimes this clawing of the toes.
Yeah, so the claw toe deformity.
Yeah, claw toe deformity, which hopefully there's on YouTube, there might be some B-roll showing or some videos showing of what exactly clawed toes look like. But, and that's where sometimes with this cavoveris foot, they start talking about how it could deal with or be indicative of, you know, peripheral nerves or things not quite getting all the way down to our toes as well as they could because we're seeing that clawing, which is also indicative in other like neurologic disorders.
Right, exactly.
And so like sometimes they'll say sharp people who have Charcot-Marie tooth, which is essentially a disorder that our foot generally loses a lot of that nervous system, you know, feeding it and it forgets how to support itself and it kind of collapses on itself, which is a really bad way of thinking about it. But your arch starts to get all these contractures and then eventually
your foot's coming into that general contraction.
Yeah, the arch just keeps getting higher, right? And then the toes start to claw more and more back because our nerves might be demyelinating or might not be getting as much of the nutrients or messages that they need down to those muscles and tissues.
Right, exactly. And oftentimes, you know, it's thought of to be idiopathic. It could also, like they've seen as possible associations with like rheumatoid arthritis or ankle osteoarthritis. So again, we're not using the function of our feet.
Which again, the ankle osteoarthritis, potentially just because you're having a lot more impact and the ankle's needing to take on a lot more when your arch and your foot isn't able to brace yourself or cushion yourself as much.
Yeah. And they've also looked at it as like typically it's like a contracture of our fibularis longus. So our fibularis longus is a muscle that is on the outside of your shin. So think of it from like the knee on the outside and then all the way down, it wraps under the foot all the way to the ball of the big toe, right? So if that's kind of just like contracted there, we can have that like pulling of the arch, which is usually a muscle, like especially when we're talking about flat feet, because apparently that's what I'm always thinking about, right? But that's a muscle we actually want to engage, and we want to kind of get back to working, you know, to be more active, to control that arch. But when we're already in such a high position, that muscle is already kind of in that contracted state.
Because it's seen as something that helps control our arch descending to the ground or going into that pronated or more flat foot position. The fibularis longus or peroneus longus is one of those muscles that is seen to support the arch. But if it's just in that contracted position, again, some people will say, oh, it's just stronger than some of the other muscles. Well, it's not really strong.
Yeah.
It's just contracted and it's tight and it isn't,
it's not working well.
Isn't able to gain that range. Same as our tib anterior, our tibialis anterior.
Which is the muscle right in the front of the shin.
Yep. Kind of if you feel on the outside of that bony part of your shin, you're probably feeling a little bit of the tibialis anterior. That's another thing that helps with dorsiflexion, which is pulling our foot back towards our shin.
Yes.
And also in some ways helps support that arch as well. And that can just become a little more contracted as well.
Yeah. So because what we said, remember, was that heel structure is a little bit more dorsiflex, which again just means that it's tilted toward the shin. So if the top and back of my foot is a little bit more up, then it's making that front of the muscle on that shin have to work more, which is your tibialis anterior. So if you bring your toes back to your shin, you can kind of feel it turn on, right? And so we're already, it doesn't mean that it's strong. When this happens, that actually means that it could be weak, but it's in this tightened position. So if a muscle is in its tightened position, it's not getting its full range, it's not getting its full function. And then we can go into some of the other ones. So pes calcaneo varus.
Calcaneus meaning the heel, right? That is more to, and they basically in this one just say forefoot or the toes are more plantar flexed or towards the ground and the heel is more dorsiflexed, right? And that's one of the primary things that we tend to see in this one. And this is actually, if you imagine or if you've ever seen somebody who has a foot due to having gotten polio, right? Which again, we don't see many people at all who had dealt with getting polio anymore. But their foot is just really almost looks like it's crunched together where the heel and the back of the foot or the hind foot has really come up towards the shin a lot and the toes have really flexed down towards the ground a lot.
Yeah.
And so again, it makes it so that foot really doesn't have a lot of function or ability to support us in like standing or walking.
Right. So, and that's like also calf weakness and stuff, but you're not going to see that one as common anymore, right? And then the last one we talk about is pes cavus. And this is just, again, we're talking about the arch of the heel, but only do because the forefoot, so that front of the foot, the where the met head, so kind of like the bones that meet the toes, is really pointing down. So as a result of that pointing down, then the body is like compensatory, the heel is then lifting up, but that's only arching because of what's happening at the forefoot. So it's more of like that front of the foot kind of thing. And it's usually compensatory due to like it could be post-trauma, it could be post-surgery, you know, and
just repetitive behaviors.
Yeah, repetitive behavior. So something that starts to develop because of that foot kind of pointing down in the front.
Yeah. And so again, after all that, that was a lot to go through.
Yeah.
And a lot of medical terminology. But again, what's it all mean? And why does it matter if I have this high arch, even outside of, you know, having pain or dysfunction during it? Like, how does it affect my movement up the chain? I just know that with my high arches, even though I didn't have a lot of symptoms throughout life, I always struggled to get into a deep squat without feeling like I was going to fall back. I still do. I struggle to get down and sit down in that deep squat and feel balanced on my feet because I always feel like I'm more so getting pushed backwards. And that just shows me one small, tiny example of how those high arches and more rigid feet are preventing me from doing basic motor patterns all the way up the chain, right? Yeah. It affects me through my hips, my knees, my low back, you know, all the places that I was having issues with coming out of football in college and going through PT school, I think can be traced back to the way that my feet operate on the ground.
Yeah. I mean, we think about it and you're like, wait, but I want to engage my arch. I want a high arches, right? Because I need to screw my feet into the ground and activate those muscles so that I could squat and hold. But at the same time, if you think about it, think of your bicep, just like your wrist and your forearm, like all the way by your shoulder, and it's contracted all the time, right? I'm in this tight bicep curl all the time. Well, I'm not going to be able to function well here. Yeah. If I'm staying here, we need the ability for it to lengthen and for it to contract. And there's different moments when that's going to be necessary. So if your foot is tight and contracted and rigid and doesn't have that ability to allow that flexibility in the midfoot, that's why we're going to have issues coming up the chain.
And what I've always done to compensate is toe extension. I mean, you can see my toes. I can bend back to almost 90 degrees backwards.
A lot of toe extension.
Because of this, you know, extra rigid high arch. So I have a lot of toe extension. I have the inside of both my knees. I've had meniscal tears and one meniscal surgery. So I know that I've been always allowing my knees to do a little extra range of motion. And through my low back, I've always had a ton of extension through my low back. Because again, I'm trying to make up for some of that lack of range that I have all the way down at my feet.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that, you know, and you and I have talked about this, your heel is actually in that more dorsiflexed position. So you actually, it's not that you have super restricted dorsiflexion at that ankle.
Yeah.
It's that when it's functional, because that heel bone doesn't lower to the floor, it doesn't allow for that shin or that lower leg to come forward with the knee to balance out. So now that knee's going to be a little bit higher and more vertical, forcing your hips just back, which forces pressure into, it could potentially force pressure into your back.
Yeah, for me, I mean, I think that's definitely something that has happened. And that was like coming through PT school, people would always say like, oh, you don't have any dorsiflexion. You don't have any dorsiflexion. Yeah. I'm like, no, you're not looking at the right thing. I'm not trying to argue that functionally, I don't have great functional like dorsiflexion as a composite, but from my foot, like, if you're looking at it, I do have a lot of dorsiflexion. My heel is stuck in dorsiflexion. Or again, when we say dorsiflexion, that means foot coming towards the shin.
Yeah.
It's just my toes that were so plantar flexed or pushing
pointed
away
down
from the
yeah.
shin that made it so that whenever they were measuring it with the stupid goniometers that no one ever uses.
people might use them. Okay.
Whatever. I would always like land at like zero or barely any dorsiflexion overall. And so they're just like, yep, you don't have any dorsiflexion. I'm just like, okay, whatever. It's not worth arguing. But it is. It's like these slight nuances that, again, when you're working with a PT, hopefully they're looking into some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And they're not just trying to jam your ankle into more dorsiflexion when they're like, well, really, we just need to get your toes and your arch and your metatarsals and all the feet, the bones in your feet moving.
That is the key there, right? It's yes, it looks like you don't have functional range within that ankle. However, if we actually shifted the focus not just to the ankle, but more toward the foot and actually increasing the flexibility there and getting your body used to getting into more pronation, which isn't a scary thing. We need the balance in our foot. So getting that foot to drop and understanding how that's possible, then all of a sudden we can start to see a shift in that functional ankle range of motion that translates to your squat, to your knee, to your back, everywhere, right? When we start to open up the bottom of the foot. And that's really what we're looking at when, I mean, because this, the prevalence we looked at, it's like 10%. So babe, you're actually very rare.
Yeah, I'm unique.
You're very unique.
That's what people have always told me. So again, some of the things that now I've been working on consistently is a lot of exactly that. It's not to say, oh, I need to put an arch support in so that my arch is, you know, even though I have a rigid arch, people feel like, oh, you might need cushion in there to, mm-hmm. to help with that cushioning, or you might need a custom orthotic to mm-hmm. help your rigid foot, you know, greet the ground and cushion you when you're running or doing activities.
Or meet the arch, because your arch doesn't fall down. So we need something to kind of support you.
And actually, in my left foot, kind of a side note, I had a what's called a Lisfranc injury, which I do think is because I have very rigid arches. Mm-hmm. And in basketball, I had a, again, it was more traumatic. Someone stepped on my foot as I was trying to pivot, and essentially my arch collapsed in a way, and I had a ligament break. But again, maybe had I had a foot that was a little more able to go into that pronation, that may not have happened or wasn't so rigid.
Yeah.
So again, I want to teach my feet now how to do those things, because mm-hmm. no matter where we're at in life, we can always put some activities or put an environment around ourselves to help grow into those things.
Yeah.
So I've been, one, doing everything I can barefoot, hiking barefoot, going outside barefoot, wearing Vivo barefoot shoes, of course, which are our absolute favorites. Again, not because they're a company we like.
Which they are.
They're a company that we love, but not just because we're trying to promote them, but because we use them. We've used them for 2 years consistently. It's like the only shoe I wear. It allows my foot to feel the ground beneath me. I know that my foot is doing all the work that it needs to do when I move through my day.
Exactly. And it's zero drop within the shoe. So that means the measurement, or how flat the foot is at the top and the where the toes, the forefoot is going to be the same as what the heel is. And a lot of times what you see in shoes is that you actually have a bigger heel. And especially if we're talking about something like high arches, already what you're seeing with high arches is that you kind of get the contracture of the plantar fascia. So underneath the fascia, underneath the foot, mm-hmm. and you get a little bit of shortening from that Achilles tendon, right?
Totally.
So now if I'm wearing a shoe that's putting more of an arch support, or not an arch support, but more of a heel in the back, that's already going to put me in a little bit of an angle toward plantar flexion, or away from the foot, away from the shin, right? Which is automatically going to shorten. It's not going to allow the full range of that Achilles tendon. So we're already putting a little bit of shortness on what's potentially an already tightened structure.
So instead, with something like a barefoot shoe or wearing Vivos, you're going to have less of that heel lift. You're going to force your Achilles tendon to do more of that work mm-hmm. and stay at a more lengthened position just when you're standing, or when you're walking upstairs or walking up a hill. It's going to really make our Achilles tendon do a lot of that work, which is why, right, when you start wearing something like Vivos, it might make your calf pretty sore.
Yeah.
You might go for a 30-minute walk and be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know my calves were working that much. That's great. That's not a reason to run back to our, you know, comfortable shoes mm-hmm. that we think are helping our feet. That's our body saying, okay, I can do this work. Now let's find ways to let that calf lengthen and grow and become more functional throughout that range.
Right, exactly. And this is where we just going to continue to work on that flexibility of the midfoot, like we said, right? And so I've shown exercises before where you have like a towel at the heel and a towel at the forefoot, or like right underneath the ball of the foot. So both sides are kind of elevated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm pushing the knee forward and in toward my big toe. So yes, I'm letting my knee pass my big toe. But if I kind of push my knee toward my big toe, then I'm kind of, what I'm trying to do essentially is flatten that arch. So that place between the ball of the big toe and the heel, I'm trying to flatten it down and cause the brain to feel safe in that mm-hmm. lengthened stretched position, so that it has the ability to then functionally come back into more of that high arch supinated position and kind of rotating back and forth. And we'll show a video example of this on YouTube. But, you know, it's so important to start to build these practices back in of creating that flexibility within the foot, unlocking that rigidity of that foot, so that we can take a little bit more shock absorption. It's not so stiff. It's a little bit more cushiony, and it allows that plantar fascia to work and to move.
Absolutely. I love any sort of activity that's getting me conscious, at least, of what my foot's doing when in a quote normal functioning foot, it should be flattening out or pronating, like doing this exercise where, and I see you do it all the time, similar to what you were just talking about, where you're just rotating around a foot.
Yeah.
And you tap your foot kind of behind you, and then you tap your opposite foot in front of you. And you see what your planted foot does. You know, really, there should be a portion where the arch comes off the ground a little more, and a portion where the arch descends towards the ground. So I love doing different things like that, that are forcing my foot to feel, okay, this is the range I have in that flattening and coming into the arch, the pronation and the supination. Like, how can I make myself feel a little more comfortable, a little more controlled through all that?
And increase that neurological awareness. So just telling the brain where it is, right?
Yeah.
Allowing the brain to find what is high, what is low, and what is the balance then feel like in between. And this is where, like, kicking off your shoes more often, especially at home. I know a lot of people like to wear slippers or socks, like even socks. Just like, please go barefoot more often.
Yeah.
Allow your feet to gain that proprioception, to understand what it's feeling, and to work on balance. Like, that's a huge thing as well.
Oh yeah. Shoes are just prisons for the feet. Like, literally, the conventional shoe, it crunches your toes up. It, you know, puts an arch in your heel, or in the arch. It puts an arch there. It lifts the heel.
Yeah.
Like, it does all these things that are supposed to be for comfort, but in reality, our foot is built to do all those things. Give
right.
those toes the room to move. Different toe exercises I'm trying to do daily, whether it's toe spreading, whether it's learning how to use my toes separately from each mm-hmm. other. We'll show you some of those as well. Like, all of them are things that you should be throwing in if you're somebody with a high arch, to just become more aware.
So huge. And we know also that proprioception, so that feedback into the bottom of that foot, is it really actually helps with, like, running. It helps to activate those reflexes to gain that stability within the foot mm-hmm. and actually modulate pain as well. Like, you might start to feel something different just from having that feedback of running. And we know also that we need that just that movement of the foot. And there have actually been studies that show that barefoot running can help reduce that excessive pronation or excessive supination. Now, we don't just recommend going barefoot running, because that's a lot.
Please don't go run 10 miles barefooted. That would be awful.
But grab some Vivo barefoot shoes and at least start exploring what the foot can feel like to actually get back into its own function.
Yeah. And for our podcast guests, we have a special 15% off code, TOB15.
Yeah.
So make sure you grab that. They give you 100 days to try these things out, and you can return them for a full refund if you aren't super happy. So there's no reason not to just give your feet the opportunity to be freed up a little bit, to learn a little bit more about how to interact with the ground and optimize the way you move throughout your body. Another great PT pearl on one of our favorite topics, the feet. Just a little bit more about how you don't need all of those extra pieces underfoot technology to support your feet. Really, the best thing to do is to teach your foot how to do it itself. As somebody with high arches, I've been constantly working on this over almost the past half decade, and it's definitely something that your foot can grow more into itself, especially with the support of something like those Vivo barefoot shoes. Remember, if you use code TOB15, get yourself 15% off. And of course, tune back in the future for extra PT pearls and interviews, because we'll always be coming at you every week.